Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we are here for our post-shine webinar. And I want to make sure that you know that when you share with your clients, you're really clear with them that what you're offering is education. You're evaluating them, assessing them to see where they are in their nutritional and hormonal status, and you're going to give them some educational guidance for how they can do some lifestyle and diet and supplement changes, how they can speak to their doctor if they have one about what's going on to see if they can get support. So make sure that you're really clear with people. And even if you have a medical degree or license, if you do coaching on the phone long distance, you're not working under that license because that license is usually localized to a particular province or state unless you've seen that person in person. So you're really coaching, whether you're a medical doctor, a health coach, a chiropractor, a physical therapist, you're coaching. And we're going to keep it that way. This is the overview of how the HPAT axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal thyroid axis, affects the body and all the different places in the body that can affect. You know, we started out with an acute or perceived threat being pulled in through the eyes or ears, sometimes the smell. Amygdala, the fight-flight response is triggered, sends a signal to the hypothalamus, which then sends a signal to the autonomic nervous system that's up at the top, the ANS. I think I have a little picture I can guide it through right here. So amygdala says, hey, wake up, hypothalamus, we got an emergency. Hypothalamus says, okay, wake up, autonomic nervous system, we have an emergency. And then we have the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic branch says, goes down to the adrenal medulla and says, hey, adrenals, we got an emergency. What are you going to do? And that secretes adrenaline and we respond. We fight, flight, we get scared, we pee our pants, whatever. But then a short while later, it also is signaling to the anterior pituitary with a hormone called CRH, corticotropin releasing hormone, to say, hey, we've got a situation on our hands, we need help. The pituitary secretes ACTH, adrenocorticotrophic hormone, to go to the adrenal cortex this time and produce cortisol and slow down the production of DHEA and any other hormones that are being activated in the adrenal so that all of the energy, all of the pregnenolone precursor goes down to cortisol. And then we have cortisol secreted. Well, cortisol helps us to turn off the digestion so that you can actively get away from the danger. It causes the immune system to shut down temporarily. It causes the cardiovascular and respiratory systems to activate, increase blood pressure, increase heart rate, increase respiratory rate so you can run and get away. It causes some increase in some inflammatory markers to protect us. Those inflammatory markers then have a negative feedback on the thyroid, causes a decrease in TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone. And actually the other thing that decreases TSH is when the anterior pituitary is producing a lot of ACTH, decreases TSH, so the thyroid, the metabolism slows down so we don't burn too much energy in the process of doing this, that we're more efficient at burning our energy. Decreases the T4 to T3 conversion, which is the activation of thyroid hormone. It decreases the receptor sensitivity so that we basically are slowing down the metabolism so that we more efficiently use the fuel that we have to get away. Affects the blood sugar. Cortisol affects the blood sugar, causes the blood sugar to increase because we want to release blood sugar from stores so we can actively get away. The blood sugar has a negative impact on the thyroid, causes a decrease in thyroid hormone production, TSH, etc. And we have this cycle that is wonderful for us in the state of acute emergency to get away and keep alive. The same reactions that are so wonderful in the face of true danger are the ones that are hurting you, the ones that are creating chronic inflammation, chronic disease, chronic imbalances in your clients. And that's at the root of all of this. The other thing that feeds into it, in addition to that acute stress, is the chronic stresses that we have. the mental and emotional stresses over, you know, the schedule, the job, the finances, digestive stresses of eating imbalanced foods, creating leaky gut, toxins in the gut, the stress of chronic inflammation or infection, maybe hidden somewhere that you don't even know about, or your client doesn't even know about, the threat of food allergies and food, just foods that aren't suited for the human body and are being put in anyway because they're fast and easy, the threat of obesity and all the hormones that the fat produces and the stress that the fat has on the system, blood sugar swings, the up and down and all around of blood sugar swings, anemia. A lot of people are anemic and they don't even know it. And you know what? A lot of doctors don't even test for it. I mean, I'm really shocked a lot of times. I look at a lab and they haven't even tested for iron or ferritin. It's very crazy. Anemia can cause problems. It's a stress. It's, you know, not enough oxygen in the blood. There's immune system imbalances. There's antibodies to tissues, autoimmune conditions. There's injuries. There's exposures to toxins in the air, the food, the water, the personal care products, the home care stuff, the rugs, the walls. We're surrounded by toxins. And all of this goes in and puts a strain on the system. And you add that to poor sleep, laying awake at night, worrying, being too stimulated to sleep, eating too close to bedtime and not sleeping well, which are, these are all the chronic 21st century stresses. No tigers in my street, but lots of those other things. And you put it all together and you're chronically affecting all these parts of the body. So imagine, it's good to have your digestion shut down. When you're running away from the tiger, is it good to have your digestion shut down when you're trying to eat food and nourish yourself? It's not. I just want to also review the whole concept of why it's so important to address the cortisol and the stress issue, because cortisol is downstream from a hormone called pregnenolone, which is a precursor to all your other hormones, all your other steroid hormones, progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, DHEA, all super important. And in this picture, the boy hormones are blue and the girl hormones are pink, but that's a very oversimplification, but I just thought you'd remember it that way. DHEA and testosterone are considered androgens, and some of those other hormones that are in the kind of light grayish green are intermediates. Three different estrogens, estrone, estradiol, estriol, testosterone, DHEA. These all have an impact on not only the cortisol levels, and cortisol has an effect on them, but also on thyroid. We call this the cortisol steal, because cortisol is the bad grandchild, and it steals all the little candy supply that grandma pregnenolone has, and none of the other kids get any, which causes low sex drive. It causes fat gain and muscle loss. It causes skin issues. It causes menstrual irregularities, PMS, menopausal symptoms, you name it, fibroids, many, many, many things can be caused by cortisol being acted upon because of chronic stress and stealing away the precursors. It's like all the bricks. And the last thing I'm going to review is the various ways that we can assess the HPAT, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal thyroid axis. We're going to call it the HPAT from now on. Of course, asking the right questions, right? Doing some symptom surveys, doing some physical exam. And so much of what we do is repetition and looking things up and knowing where to look things up. And the stuff that you use a lot of, it'll be coming right to the tip of your tongue. Like, people are wondering, how do I remember all these pathways? And I just talk about this stuff like I'm talking about, you know, because I do it a lot. Before I started doing it a lot, I had to look it up, but I knew where to look it up. And that's what I'm teaching you. We have some functional assessments that will address this. We talked very extensively about the adrenal stress index. You can look at amino acids, because amino acids like phenylalanine and tyrosine are precursors to adrenal hormones, important pieces. And then a lot of the amino acids are important for blood sugar balance and gut repair.
In addition to doing adrenal testing, some of you may not want to do adrenal testing. Some people may not want to pay for adrenal testing. So you want to be good at looking at the other signs so that you can be monitoring. The chart that I gave you that compares adrenal and thyroid is hugely important. And as you're first starting to do this, make copies of these charts. make copies of them and circle them and have, you know, have a big thick folder for everybody, but you just use these worksheets, and it's going to help you to make your assessments. The blood pressure goes down when you stand up. If you have somebody take their blood pressure lying down, and then they go to a standing position, and if the blood pressure goes down or stays the same, it's an indication of adrenal weakness. If you shine a bright light in their pupils and it doesn't stay constricted for 20 or more seconds, that's a sign of adrenal stress. Rib margin tenderness, that's one of those on-the-body reflex kind of signs, that's often indicative of adrenal stress. And that's right at the side of your body. If you slide your hand down to where the rib cage ends, right at the side of the body, that's where we're looking. Brown or black discoloration below the eyelids, they use that in Chinese medicine and in face diagnosis. Dark gray or reddish back of tongue, way in the back. Okay, that's the kidney, adrenal kind of area. That is dark green or reddish, that may be a sign. Ulcerations or canker sores. People say, I'm always getting these canker sores. They have red, bad breath, rough red cuticles. And then there's specific tongue signs we have pictures of that will indicate that there's a lot of stress in the body. Okay, but the main ones that you're going to look at would be the blood pressure, and then the pupils not staying constricted, and then you'll tell by the person's demeanor oftentimes that they tend to be what I call the hypervigilance, that they, you know, they're very, very jumpy and edgy. So those are some of the physical signs. On a routine blood test, you can get some suggestion of adrenal problems. By high potassium, low sodium, and low glucose will tend towards low adrenal suspicion, whereas with a hyperadrenal, you're going to tend towards low potassium, high sodium, and normal or excess glucose, and oftentimes high triglycerides. So these are some signs that you might get just from a normal blood test. So oftentimes I'm looking at that before I'm looking at an adrenal test to go, oh, we may have some adrenal stuff going on here. And you try to tie all this stuff together. Progression of stages in adrenal exhaustion is that you start out normal, cortisol normal, it's in a normal range, the sun being, you know, a little bit in the low 30s, and then as you get into stage one, which is that hyper-stimulated, that's the tired, wired stage where you're just, like, agitated, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sleep difficulties. That's where the cortisols go up. You stay there for a while, but after a while, the adrenals wear down and it starts to go back down. To the naked eye, looking at somebody's adrenal stress test, if you just look at the total number for the cortisol, you're going to think they're normal. But if you look at the pattern, which we'll look at in a bit, and you look at the DHEA, and if you further can look at things like secretory IgA and progesterone, which give you more of a long-term status of the depletion, then you can get an even better indication. And you know, no, this person is not normal, even though their total cortisol is normal. And then once you pass through that stage and down to the bottom, that's where people get, they're just flatlined, they're just tired all the time. And that's the stage three. So let's take a look at what these look like on a test. Remember, this is a saliva test. They give you the cortisol readings morning, noon, afternoon, and night. So generally the range is between 6 and 8 a.m., 12 and 1 p.m., 4 and 5 p.m., and 10 p.m. and 12 a.m., so 10 and midnight. Then they give you the sum of the cortisol. Next, they give you the reference range. That's their reference range. Generally accurate, but again, I like to see them right in the middle of the reference range. That's the most healthy. Then they give you the DHEA. DHEA will be low if cortisol has been high for a while. Just remember the precursors. The cortisol steals. Cortisol steals all the pregnenolone. And then they give you the ratio. The ratio we want to be between 5 and 8. So classic in stage one is that the cortisol sum is high. So here it's 53 and the range is 23 to 42. I like to see it somewhere around 37. So it's high. And how do you know that they're just not they're just not stressed out today and everything else is fine? Because their DHEA is low. It's a 2. They've been in chronic depletion for a long time and they're using all those precursors to make cortisol. For a long time, the DHEA is low. And then again, the other way you know is you look at the DHEA, the cortisol DHEA ratio, and in their case, it's 26 with a reference range of 5 to 6. Okay? So this person has been chronically stressed for a long time. They're in stage 1. They may be having sleep problems. and you'll see what the graph looks like. You see the two graphs? There's the green and the red. That's the ranges of normal. You see how they're parallel to each other? You want your numbers to be parallel and somewhere between those two. I like to see it at the 50% to 75 percentile. If it's starting to go higher, as long as their DHEA is okay, I'm good with that. But if it's starting to go higher and their DHEA looks like it's going low, I know that this person is going to get into trouble soon. So let's look at a few others. This is stage two. This is where the total cortisol is 23. Now, in this case, it's right at rock bottom of the normal range, but it's still within the range. Sometimes you see them at a nice and healthy 26, 28, 30, 35. But it's what the chart looks like and what the DHEA looks like. In this case, the DHEA is low. It's 2.6. It's below that range. It's still within that normal range that they're giving, but the ideal range really for the DHEA is more like, just that. There you go. The DHEA range is more healthy when it's between, I like to see it at 7 or 8. Okay? All right. So you look at this. The cortisol DHEA ratio is 9.1. So even though the DHEA may look within their normal reference range, the ratio of it, the cortisol to it, is off. See where they're plotted? They're at the low, low, low end of normal, or reference range, the orange line, and they're staying parallel here. But then look, they dip below the line, below the lower line, at the afternoon, and then they stay below that line. So they're in stage two because their total is within the reference range, but their DHEA is low and their chart is a little bit off. This is a stage two. They appear to the average person as normal. I don't, you know how many people I see who say, yeah, I went to my naturopath and they said everything's normal. And I look and go, this isn't normal. You're in stage two adrenal fatigue. They go, huh? Here's a stage three example from a lab called Diagnostics. And they have a slightly different way of presenting it, but same idea. So the reference range of these dotted lines, look at this person. They are rock bottom here. They are below here, below at noon. They've come up to the line at 4 but barely, and then at midnight they're barely. This person is clearly stage 3. We don't have to look at the DHEA when we see the cortisol is that low. Sometimes you will see a high DHEA at that point because the body is just trying desperately to come back. And it doesn't. Okay, here's some others. And these I don't have all. Some of these I have all the numbers, and some of them I have just the pictures. But if we look at this one, if we just look at it, we don't need to add it up. What would you say this person is? It's probably in a stage two because their cortisol, it's there. It's within that reference range. But look how off it is. Way high here, way low here. Again, we don't have the DHEA, so we don't know, but here's one. This is cool. She's at the very high end of the range at the first thing in the morning and then at noon, and then something's happening here. It's either a low blood sugar. Sometimes people have a really high glycemic lunch, and then their blood sugar plummets, which causes cortisol to release, or she's got some stress at work. But look at this. This is horrible. You think this person is sleeping? Not likely. Sometimes you can look at the person's test and tell them about their situation, and I think you're very cool when you can do that. Let's look at this one. We do have a few more that have the whole layout. Let's see. Oh, yeah, so here we have in the first thing in the morning, they're below the range. At noon, they're right at the rock bottom. In the afternoon, they're in the middle of a little bit in the middle of the range, and then they go high. Again, sleep problems, yes. This person, without seeing the DHEA and total, would be, it's hard to say, but I would put this person at a stage two, most likely. This one, look, normal at when they first get up, low normal, though, so probably not getting up real easily. Going down, probably losing steam at noon and at 4 in the afternoon, and then coming back, probably falling asleep okay, but because it's high compared to some of these other times, maybe not. They get their second wind here. Here's another one. This one's pretty flat lined all the way and then jumps up at midnight. Something's happening. They're keeping them awake. This one's pretty flat lined, really low. and then it comes up into normal range. This is a clear stage 3. Look at this. Low, 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 low. Look at this one. Woohoo! What's happening here? You think this person's sleeping? This is a clear stage 1. This one, person is hyper-stimulated all the time. This person's wearing out their body big time. So now we have a few more of the biohealths where they have the numbers. Again, remember the orange is the person. Green is the low. Red is the high. This person's clearly really high. If we just look here, this person's clearly in a stage 1. What's their number? 56 is the total, right, out of a range of 23 to 30, 42. But look where the DHEA is. It's 1.3, which puts their cortisol-DHEA ratio at 51. Whoa! This person is in chronic stress. This is a stage 1, but they are heading for burnout if we don't intervene. We don't know how long those reserves are. You can actually do the Meridian Valley test and see what their cortisol-cortisone ratio is, so that's more sophisticated, and see what their reserves are. But we don't know what their reserves are, but they're heading towards a crash. Here's another one. This is a biohealth stage 3, okay? So below the line, below the line, below the line, at the line. This is clearly a stage 3. Total cortisol is only 19. The DHEA is 2.2. So the cortisol-DHEA ratio is better than some of the stage 1s, of course, but it's clearly a problem. What do you think this? We have a cortisol sum of 30. Where does it lie? It's in the normal range. We have a DHEA of 0.7. It's low. We have a cortisol-DHEA ratio of 43. Super high. This one's clearly a what? I would call that a 2. This is a cortisol sum is 52, so likely to be a stage 1. DHEA is 1.8. Cortisol is 29. This is a stage 1. And look at the, it's way up. It follows the normal pattern pretty closely compared to some of the others, doesn't it? But it's clearly up. Here's another one. It's clearly up the whole time, but it's not quite following the pattern, but close. But 54, 4.3, we're getting up there in that, but the ratio is 12.6. Clearly a stage 1. Here we go, 26. Oh, this person's normal. This person were to come and their naturopath would have said, well, your adrenals are fine, or somebody would have said that to them. Your adrenals look fine, look at this. Well, they're at the low end of normal throughout the rest of the day. They're at the low end here, but they're still within the range, so they're good, right? Look at their DHEA, it's 1.2. Look at their ratio, it's 22. Yeah, they have a normal output of cortisol. Now, if somebody just did a blood test of cortisol, they'd go, yeah, you have an adrenal problem. Happens all the time. People are misdiagnosed, mislabeled. Cortisol sum is 9.3, clearly low. And we can look at the graph and go, whoops, this one's a stage 3, okay? Look at the DHEA. It's practically non-existent. It's a 0.1. Look at the cortisol-DHEA ratio. Wow, 93. This person's in trouble, and we want to intervene. So we've got a total is 15, so it's low. We're flatlined in the morning until noon. Right at the very bottom of the range here at afternoon and nighttime. All right? So 15, 3.1, not as terrible as some of the others, and a 4.9. Oh, this person has a normal cortisol-DHEA ratio. Is this person normal? You might want to say that no, because their total is low. So you can't take any one number. You take it in relationship. I like to see the DHEA somewhere in the neighborhood of 8. 6 to 8, 7 to 8, something like that. Here's one, 14.3. What's that? That's low. 1.3, DHEA low. Cortisol DHEA ratio high. Really clear, stage 3. What about this one? Cortisol sum is 54. This one's high. You can tell by looking it's high. It's clearly high. 4.3. Here's one, 29. Say, yay, they're normal. No, they have a 1.3 on the DHEA and a 22.8 on the ratio.
This person's clearly a type stage. This is another stage two. See? You know it. Normal cortisol sub, but low DHEA and high cortisol DHEA ratio. Doesn't have to be all of them. Any one of these being off is suggestive.